I do it every day. I was looking on the web this week, trying to find a phobia that I was looking for to help me with this sermon, and came across an A to Z of phobias. And believe me, this is the truncated version. There is a phobia for everything, even things that haven't been named yet. Do you know what I mean? There's a phobia for it. And I just thought, did you know any of these or not, really? Start with an easy one. Claustrophobia? Confined spaces, did somebody say? Yeah, fear of confined spaces. Technophobia? Fear of technology? Yeah, okay. How about scolonophobia? Schools, did somebody say? Yeah, fear of school. Pyrophobia? I think I've had pyrophobia since I saw the film Towering Inferno. Remember that? Some of you are old enough to remember that. Dentophobia. Fear of dentists. Arithmophobia. Fear of numbers, correct. Chronometrophobia. Obviously, isn't it? Chronometrophobia. Fear of clocks. I know it's not a clock ticking above my head, but do you not? Isn't it a bit scary, that, isn't it? Where are we? Oh, yeah. Genuphobia. A fear of knees. What's going on there? This one I didn't believe, but long sermon-a-phobia. Can't possibly be a word for that. That's nothing to fear, is it, anyone? And finally, phobophobia. Fear of phobias. Yeah, fear of fear. How scary is that? Well, what are you scared of? What do you fear? What's looming in your life that worries you? And if there is something, does it seem insurmountable? Do you wonder how you're going to cope, or where you're going to get your strength from? Well, hopefully today's verse from Psalm 23 will help. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. And if you've been here for the last few weeks, you might think, what are we doing here at a verse like this? Psalm 23 is food for the soul. Those first three verses that we've enjoyed. The Lord is my shepherd. Trust, we said. And we've grazed, haven't we, at the green pastures of God's love for us. We've drunk from the still waters of his grace in our lives. We've known our souls restored. We've been led in paths of righteousness. The shepherd's been caring for us. The sun's been shining, all's been well, we're well fed, we're satisfied, we're content, we're secure in the presence of a loving shepherd. So why suddenly these questions about fear? Well, it's where David takes us in the psalm, the valley of the shadow of death. It's a phrase, isn't it? I guess that send shudders down your spine, maybe. Because it conjures up, doesn't it, visions of a bad place, of a dark place, of the last place you'd want to go to, a place of suffering and pain and death. Perhaps a place where the rug's been pulled out from under your feet and you're no longer in control. A place of your worst fears. We're not sure what's going on for David here. But if you read the books, it seems that most people think this actually is the nub of the psalm and the reason for him writing this psalm. And you can see that in some of the language, because the first three verses, it's been beautiful, but it's been fairly general. You know, the Lord, that person out there, he leads me, he is my shepherd, he leads me in green pastures, he restores my soul and takes me by still waters. He leads me in paths of righteousness. But now, suddenly. It's you. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you are with me. There's a change of emphasis, isn't there, from the sort of general to the personal, the I-thou relationship between David and God. For some reason, and we don't know the reason, it seems it's become real now for David, from theorizing about the Lord being his shepherd and that lovely picture, suddenly there's something that he has to be scared about. And the fact is, you see, that troubles come into our lives. We live in a fallen world. God created it perfect and good, but it's been spoiled. It's been spoiled by our fallenness, our sinfulness, and death and suffering are a result of that. We've seen the pictures, haven't we, this morning? Well done, Matt. Well done. We've seen the pictures, haven't we, this morning of the troubles in our world. And Sue prayed for people who are troubled now, even in our midst this morning. None of us is exempt from difficulties. Troubles come, difficulties arise, problems surface, pain hurts, stuff happens, and as sure as eggs is eggs, the ultimate statistic, one out of one of us will die. I'll cheer you up, eh? Sort of cheer you up this morning. And when it's someone we love, then it hurts. And when it does, then it might hurt, and it may not be pretty. And you see, David knew all this, and actually so do we, don't we? Which is why he said, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me." Because as well as knowing that troubles come, David also knew that faith in the one that we trust as our shepherd, faith in the one who provides for all our needs, faith in the one who guides us in all our ways, means that he can also be trusted in the most difficult of times, even in the ultimate experience of dying and death. David could confidently assert, "Even in the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me." You see, as Christians, we may not be exempt from troubles and suffering, but there is a difference. As the song says, and I have to spit these words out from my mouth, being an Everton supporter, "But when you walk through a storm, you'll never walk alone. The shepherd walks with his sheep, and that makes all the difference, whatever the troubles are." An old poem, Footprints, I'm sure you'll be familiar with, in case you're not, or maybe you need reminding. "One night a man had a dream. He dreamed he was walking along the beach with the Lord. Across the sky flashed scenes from his life, and for each scene he noticed two sets of footprints in the sand, one belonging to him and the other to the Lord. When the last scene of his life flashed before him, he looked back at the footprints in the sand, and he noticed that many times along the path of his life, there was only one set of footprints. He also noticed that this seemed to happen at the very lowest and saddest times in his life. And this really bothered him, and he questioned the Lord about it. 'Lord,' he said, 'you said that once I decided to follow you, you'd walk with me all the way. But I've noticed that during the most troublesome times in my life, there is only one set of footprints. I don't understand that why, when I needed you most, you would leave me.' And the Lord replied, 'My son, my precious child, I love you, and I would never leave you. During your times of trial and suffering, when you only see one set of footprints, it was then that I carried you.'" It's a helpful poem, isn't it? It's brought comfort, I'm sure, to many. And we can often see this in hindsight, can't we? We look back at those difficulties in our life and see how we came through and realise that the Lord carried us through. The trick, if it's a trick, is to believe it now, in today's troubles. Okay. So this is the principle to take from this morning. We needn't fear, because the Lord is with us, and he'll give us the strength we need in the troubles we face. There's some helpful insights in this verse that are worth unpacking. So let's assume that the valley of the shadow of death is a difficult place, whatever that difficulty is for you. Possibly it's about facing dying, but not necessarily. Whatever the trouble is. And you notice, first of all, that it's only a valley. The geologists will tell you that valleys are formed as mountains rise from the ground. The valley is simply the lower ground between hills. And often, the valley, in fact, is the gentlest route to the mountain top. Now, I know something about this, as do quite a few of the people who did last year's bike ride from Newcastle to Edinburgh. First day and a half or so was flat. It was the coast, and there are no hills on the coast. You'd be maybe surprised to hear, but it was long, but it was flat. But the doom mongers amongst us were saying, just wait until Sunday, when we turn inland and we scale the Scottish mountains. And as Sunday sort of got nearer, in the distance, you could see these mountains, and you thought, they're right. How are we going to get up those mountains? And the sort of dryness of throat and the gulp that goes down. You think, how am I going to do that? And you're working out excuses of what you're going to say when you get off your bike to push it, because you can't cycle up these hills. But the fact is, when we got there, we went up the valley road, and it was uphill all the way, and I think it was 7 miles or something, wasn't it? But actually, it meandered gently to the top of these mountains. It's only a valley, and often the valley is the gentlest way to a mountaintop experience. I guess what David's saying, and what it's good for us to hear, is that our situation, whatever our problems are, could be worse. It could be the sheer cliff of the shadow of death and not the valley of the shadow of death. The Lord's presence with us makes it a valley. And the valley is the route to that mountaintop experience so often. I mean, what is your hope? What is your prayer in your relationship with the Lord? Is it, as Richard of Chichester prayed, to love him more dearly, to see him more clearly, to follow him more nearly? Or as the psalm has been telling us, to trust him completely because he provides and guides, and to know that kind of experience, to live that experience out in your life moment by moment and day by day? Is it to have these mountaintop experiences in our walk with God? Well, I hope it is your prayer that that's true of you. But you see, that the beauty of the mountaintop experience and the peace and the joy and the benefit of getting there isn't just handed to us on a plate. We grow into these experiences, into the mountaintop experiences, through the experiences of life in getting there, and often their valley experiences. The most beautiful Christians that I've ever met, I'm sure it's true of you too, are those who've experienced suffering. But those who have come through, those who have known the Lord's help, and so know that these things we say about him are true. They know that he is their shepherd. They know that they can trust him. They know that he provides and guides, even in the valley of the shadow of death. Do you know what we saw lots of on our bike ride up that valley? Sheep. They were everywhere. In winter, they graze in the lowlands because there's snow and bad weather higher up the mountain. But that snow-covered ground, when the snow melts in the summer, is the best grazing that there is. And the route to the best grazing is through the valley. And that's true of our experience with the Lord. The best green pastures are through the experience of valleys in our life. But remember, it's only a valley. And this is what else David says. Because he says it's only a valley, and it's only a valley that we walk through. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Not walk into and not walk out of. It's not a cul-de-sac. It's not a dead end. We walk through. And no matter how dark it might be, because sometimes the sun doesn't shine in the valley, no matter how steep the valley sides are, always at the end, there is the mountain top in sight. We walk through the valley. And what if it is your time to die? What if this valley is the last valley that you'll walk? Do you hear what David calls this valley? The Valley of Death? Nope. That's in California somewhere, I think. It's the Valley of the Shadow of Death. Because of Jesus, death ain't what it used to be. Because of Jesus, all the things that we've already said are true, even in death. It's still only a valley. It's still just a journey to the best mountaintop experience that we'll ever have, the glory of heaven. And we'll still walk through it and come out at the other side. Because you see, this is a path that Jesus has walked before us. He's blazed the trail. He's charted the waters. He's pioneered the way. He's gone to prepare a place for us, a room in our Father's mansion. Jesus died, but rose again. And that path is a path that we can walk now. The valley of the shadow of death. As a kid, I used to lie awake at night. And although I didn't know it then, my noctiphobia, my acluophobia, and my skyophobia would all kick in. Fear of the night, fear of the dark, and fear of shadows. The noises at the window, the outstretched arms of the burglar, or the monster, or the alien, depending on what I'd just been watching before I went to bed, were clearly silhouetted against the curtains, groaning loudly and scratching at the windows, just aching to get in. In the daylight, it was just a cherry tree that needed pruning. Do you know, I looked down this list. There is no cherry tree-ophobia. Nobody's coined that phrase yet because there's no need to be scared, is there, of a cherry tree or even the shadow of a cherry tree. Death's just a shadow. Even in the valley of the shadow of death, David can say, and we can say with him, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Mike helpfully has helped us to think about the word comfort. And I've got down here that advert, softness, is a thing called comfort. I get commission for that, you know. And I guess our idea of comfort is a hug and a cup of tea and sympathy and that kind of thing. And that's helpful, isn't it, as an image, at least partly. But the Latin words that go to make our word comfort, conforte, mean with strength. The Bayeux Tapestry, you know, the story of 1066 and all that, and the Norman conquest and King Harold. The Bayeux Tapestry is a tapestry of that battle, and it's in Bayeux, hence Bayeux Tapestry. You see, you learn something here, don't you, all the time. The part of that tapestry, there's a picture of King Harold with his troops, and the sort of caption underneath is, King Harold comforts his troops. And so you look at the picture, what do you expect? His arm round them, perhaps? Come on, lads, they're there, I know we're losing, but it's only an arrow, it's only in the eye. No, King Harold's got a spear, and he's prodding his troops in the backside. And it says, King Harold comforts his troops. You see, he's giving them strength. You might not like the image, but he's giving them strength. That's the fact. Come on, keep fighting, keep going through this trouble, through this difficulty. True comfort, if we understand the word in its original meaning, means to give strength. It's not about softness. It's the strength to carry on. It's the strength to come through. And it's the Lord's, or the shepherd's, rod and staff which comfort the sheep. His rod, shepherd's rod, was like a shillelagh. You know, the Irish shillelagh. It's a sort of short club with a piece of wood with a clump at the end. And it was used for all sorts of things, but it was always there, always in the belt, ready, easy to get out and to use. And perhaps the shepherd would beat the bushes around where the sheep were grazing and scare away all the snakes. Or perhaps he'd be prepared to club a rabbit or whatever it was that came along. Or they were made to throw as well, and they'd spend hours practicing their throwing of these rods to chase away foxes and bears and other predators that came along. Just occasionally, they'd use them to correct a wayward sheep, spare the rod and spoil the child, as it were. The rod was a symbol of authority, of strength, and of power. And I know David's using poetic license here, but the sheep see the rod and it brings comfort because they know that the shepherd's there with them and will chase away all these things that threaten their peacefulness. The staff was different. You'll know the staff was longer and had a hook on the end. And it's interesting, but nobody else in any other profession uses a staff like this. They're designed uniquely for use with sheep. And the shepherd would, when a sheep was giving birth to its litter, is it, of lambs, I don't know, whatever you call them, and whilst it was sort of giving birth to the second or sometimes the third, the first might sort of be away on its legs somewhere, and the shepherd would often gather up the lamb in the crook, pick it up in the crook of his hook and bring it back to the mother. To pick it up with his hands would put his own smell on it, and the sheep might then reject it, but the crook would have that distance and he'd be able to do that. He could reach out in a sort of crowd and draw a ewe in to inspect it. Perhaps he thought it might have some ticks or whatever it might have, and he could do that and gently draw that sheep in. He could retrieve wayward sheep from thickets and down cliffs and in rivers and wherever else they'd wandered to. And intriguingly, and I read this in a book this week, but often the shepherd would use his crook with a gentle touch to guide the sheep, just on the side of the sheep to guide it in the way he wanted it to go. And as the sheep got used to this, they would clamour around the shepherd to be next to that crook, to actually touch that crook in that sense of comfort. The crook was a symbol. His staff was a symbol of care. He had this symbol of authority in his rod and a symbol of care in his staff. And together, the presence of the shepherd with his symbol of authority and his symbol of care was enough to help the sheep face the toughest of valleys. We still have these things. We still have his presence with us. It was his last promise to his people, but it was the last of many promises in the Bible that the Lord would not leave us, never forsake us, to be with us until the end of the age. And we have the authority of his word, and we have the care of his church to keep us on the straight and narrow, to correct our waywardness, to ward off predators who would spoil our lives, to strengthen us, to comfort us. Together with the Lord, we can walk through all the valleys, even the valley of the shadow of death. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you again for your word to us, a precious word, Lord, which speaks deep into our hearts. And Lord, perhaps some of us today don't feel the pressure of valleys. And we thank you for that. But Lord, some of us are facing those valleys today, facing difficulties and troubles. And Lord, we pray that this word will warm our hearts, will bring that strength and comfort that only you can bring. Lord, the knowledge of your presence with us as we face whatever it is that's ahead, Lord, will help us to come through and to find that greater mountaintop experience with you. Lord, may that be so for any here today, and indeed for all those we've prayed for this morning throughout the world, in a world of suffering today. Lord, be their shepherd, even in those places, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's sing and to finish.